Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Open Door. Glad you're all here this morning. Can y'all please stand with us? And we're going to open up with one of my favorite old hymns.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graceless power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood? Are they white as snow? Are you walking in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you
word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you that through the blood of the Lamb, your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are washed clean, that our garments are now spotless, so we can stand before you, God, blameless from our sin. And Lord God, I thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you that we can be here this morning and worshiping you. I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon our worship and upon the word that Pastor Roy has for us this morning, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Last week, you gave $483 to the Olacock State Mission Offering. Our goal is $4,000. Now, I would like to tell you about Olacock and why the State Mission Offering was named after her. In 1973, West Virginia Southern Baptist named our State Missions Offering after a faithful, joyful, fiercely quiet woman named Olacock. Not because she wanted it, but because she lived it. She believed the gospel was worth giving everything for, and she did. Over 50 years later, that offering has helped fuel over $3 million of mission work across West Virginia, supporting associational missions, church planting, disaster relief, student camps, pastor care, collegiate outreach, and gospel ministry in every corner of the state. But this offering isn't about Ola, it's about the mission of God. Born in Arkansas in 1912, Ola came to Christ early and, according to all who knew her, walked in joyful obedience the rest of her life. When she and her husband Elmo moved to Charleston in 1964, she didn't just settle in. She jumped into ministry with both feet. Many assumed she was a native West Virginian because she loved the people here like they were her own. As the first WMU director of the West Virginia Convention of Southern Baptists, she spent her days equipping others. She trained leaders, led prayer gatherings, launched student camps, helped churches start and strengthen women's ministries, encouraged pastors, and reminded churches that every member mattered in the mission of God. She saw every believer as part of God's strategy. Her suggested theme for the very first WVCSB annual meeting, "Give me this hill country." That was her prayer. That's still our prayer. Ola once said, "We only want to do what cannot be explained except by the power of the Holy Spirit." That was the heartbeat behind everything she did. She didn't want recognition. She wanted revival. Even after being diagnosed with cancer in 1972, she didn't stop. From her hospital bed, she led with prayer and phone calls. WMU materials were stacked beside her. Gospel conversations filled the room with nurses and doctors. She passed away in 1974, but not before giving her all for the mission. The Ola Cox State Missions offering is not a fundraiser, it's a response to pray, give, and go. We pray because we're dependent on God. Prayer isn't the backup plan, it's the battle plan. We give because everything we have is God's, and He's blessed us to be a blessing. It's an eternal investment. We go because the Lord commanded us to, and the gospel is too important not to. This is what it means to be a family on mission. Not perfect, not polished, just surrendered, just faithful, just available. Let's keep going in Jesus' name and for His glory until Jesus is made known in and through this hill country and to the ends of the earth. Thank you for your attention, for your prayers, and for your generosity.
Thank you, Pam. Richie.
Thank you. All right, so a couple quick announcements. Number one, this was supposed to be announced last week, but they were hiding, so we couldn't find them to announce this. Okay, you were serving in an area of the church. Hiding, serving, either way. But I want to be officially the first to announce at the church from the pulpit. We have a wedding happened not too long ago, so if you two would stand up and you can everybody applaud Ronnie and Hunter Fisher. Thank you, guys. Continue to pray for them. It's an exciting moment. Love new marriages. Love the new excitements, new adventures. Pray for them. Those who've been married for a while, you know, pray for them. That's the first thing I wanted to make sure to announce. The second thing is today we're going to collect a love offering. There's a member of our church. There's somebody in need. They're struggling through some financial need right now. So anybody who can support, if you would write on the offering envelope, love, that will help the counters put it all into the same bucket. That way they can get it to the right person. I would appreciate any support, anything we can do to help this person out. It will go a long way. Other announcements in the bulletins. Usually I would just tell you, read your bulletins. Okay. The exception to that is today, there's some minor corrections. Number one, we do still have youth. There's nothing changing. Everything's good. Wednesday night, we're still going to have class. You should be here. If you're not here, you're missing out. But number three there in the bulletin, the church workday for October 3rd has been canceled. There were some scheduling conflicts. I don't know all the details, but what I know, we are not doing the church workday that day. We'll figure out another day to get back to work. That being said, Pastor Larry and Miss Donna are out on vacation. If you need anything, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, don't hesitate to reach out. My number's in the bulletin. I'm happy to help out. Men's night out, sign up for the Drovers Inn, community breakfast, and then continue to pay attention to the bulletin. If you guys need anything, don't hesitate.
All right. Thank you, Richie. We all please stand.
the world.
Better.
You know, I got to apologize. You guys probably heard a little something weird in that song. Well, since Kathy's out, we're trying to do some new stuff, and it all depends on electronics, and it also depends on Mike's brain doing what it's supposed to do. And as you know, Mike's brain also has chronic lyricosis, and he doesn't always pay attention to electronics. So that was me, all me at the end. But we're learning, so bear with us, and let's praise God.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing. Am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers that aren't here to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not what I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. In the current of raging sea, I have this blessed assurance holding me.
Oh, I can see you now. take a failure, you take a weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see.
Opportunity today to bring your word. But Father God, I ask, Lord, I ask that you use me, a broken vessel, to spread your word, not mine but yours, Father. Father, if I go to say something that should not be said, silence my lips and allow me not to speak, but bring the one that would speak for you today. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we honor you in all that we do in Jesus' holy and heavenly name. Amen.
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Well, good morning, Open Door Baptist Church. It is great to be with you today, Sunday, September 13th, worshiping and praising our Lord and Savior. Speaking of dates, I'm going to ask a series of questions. If you can remember where you were and what you were doing on these dates, raise your hand. Let us know. And then tell us what happened on that day. December 7th, 1941. Pearl Harbor Day. How about June 6th, 1944? D-Day. Let's move it up a little bit. How about January 28th, 1986? Space Shuttle Challenger. And your birthday. He was celebrating his birthday. How about April 19th, 1995? The bombing of the federal building, the Alfred P. Murrow Federal Building in Oklahoma City. How about September 11th, 2001? Most of us can remember that day. You know, these are just a few dates that have permanently marked the memories of a generation. Unfortunately, I can tell you where I was on a few of these much clearer than some others, specifically the Space Shuttle Challenger. I was walking to the motor pool at Fort Hood, Texas. September 1st, 2011, I was standing in my living room, ironing the shirt, getting ready to go to work. You know, it doesn't mean I don't remember the other days. I just can't tell you specifically what I was doing. But I can tell you on each of these dates, they started out like any other normal day. And then suddenly, everything changed. In a matter of moments, our nation witnessed something that many Americans never dreamed could ever happen. And it happened. Things that seemed secure suddenly became vulnerable. A world that seemed predictable suddenly became uncertain. And for a lot of people, everything shook. The passage I want to dig into today, it was written for a world that shakes. It was written for moments when the foundations beneath us seem unstable. Listen to what the author writes in the language he uses as we read Psalm 46. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Almuth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease in the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. That I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God bless the reading of his word. But did you catch these phrases? Even though the earth be removed, though mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roar and be troubled, though mountains shake with its swelling. See, Psalm 46 was a psalm for people who had discovered that life is not as secure as we once believed that it was. Many scholars believe that it was most likely written after Jerusalem was miraculously delivered from the siege of King Sennacherib around 701 BC. You can read about that in 2 Kings 19, 35 through 37. It's also in Isaiah 37, 36 through 38. It's also in 2 Chronicles 32, 21 through 22. It's written when people were thinking, the answer is, I don't have to worry. Nothing's going to happen. It's all good. In reality, what's real is the fact that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This psalm is naturally broken down into three sections. If you notice the word Selah at the end of verses 3, 7, and 11. In the ancient Hebrew, that's a musical word. One that you'll appreciate, Mike, because it means pause or rest. So with the pauses in place, let's look at that first section, verses 1 through 3, and it actually gives us our first point this morning. When everything shakes, God is our refuge and our strength. Again, verses 1 through 3, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Almoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Verse 1 is telling us who is writing this psalm. It's telling us who it's being written to, but it gives us two very important truths that we need to remember. And it's that God is our refuge and our strength. And this isn't the only place we're told this. In addition to verse 1 of our passage, you can look at Psalms 62, 7 and 8. And the psalmist writes, "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. In Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, the author writes, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. We have a refuge in God. But what is a refuge? It's a place of shelter, a place you can run to when you're exposed, a place you can go when you're in danger. And I hope that you see in this, the psalmist isn't saying, God's people, you're not gonna encounter trouble. It's the exact opposite. They're saying at some point you can expect some kind of trouble. The promise God gives us is not that we're not going to face trouble. The promise is that when we do face trouble, we have a refuge. We have a place we can go in the midst of that trouble. Just because we're a follower of Jesus doesn't mean the hardships are over. Probably means they're just getting ready to begin. And it's important that we understand we are going to face difficulties. But if we're honest about it, when we face those difficulties, what do we want? We want God to immediately jump in and pull us out of that storm and make everything right, don't we? We want our lives to be calm and peaceful and never face adversity. God always doesn't do that, does He? But He is, however, always our refuge, our shelter in the midst of whatever storm that we're facing. He's also our strength. We need a strength beyond what we're humanly capable of, a strength that only He can provide. I've heard it time and time and time again. Don't worry. God's only going to give you what you can handle. You've all heard that, right? Well, to quote my favorite colonel, Sherman T. Potter, mule muffins. It ain't going to be that way. You see, what I like to say is God's only going to give you what you can handle through Him. Because He is our strength. Now, don't go thinking I'm going to misquote this, because it's probably one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Most people read this and they misquote it. They mistake the strength we get from Christ as some kind of superpower. I can run 100 yards and score a touchdown because Christ strengthens me. I can win the fight because Christ strengthens me. That's not what Paul's saying. We have to look at the context that Paul wrote this. Understand something. Paul's in a Roman prison when he writes this. He's more than likely facing execution. He's been beaten. He's been flogged. He's been stoned. But what he's saying is, I have divine strength to endure any hardship I face because the Lord is my refuge. And I'm okay with that. I'm content with that. See, Philippians 4:13 is a practical fulfillment in Paul's life of Psalm 46:1. Psalm 46 says the bank account exists. And Philippians 4 shows Paul cashing that check, because he is content with what the Lord is giving him. And both of those verses are about relying on God when circumstances all around us are crumbling. I'm a bit of a history buff. I like to study little things about history. I've been told I'm a plethora of useless knowledge. But as I was studying, not just for this message, but as I was studying over the years, Pearl Harbor and the events of that day, the bombing of the Murrah building and the events of that day, the attack on the World Trade Center and Pentagon, Flight 93, and all of these, and in many other situations, you're going to find extraordinary acts being performed by ordinary people. And these events also remind us that we're not in control. We're not in control of anything. But it shows something remarkable. And that is when disaster strikes, people respond. First responders ran towards the danger. Sailors and soldiers risked their own lives to save others. Ordinary citizens helped total strangers. But there's a point when human strength is not enough. And that's when we discover that God is our strength. I'm sure most of us in this room have had, at some point, our world shaken. It may have been a cell phone call or a telephone call. It may have been a diagnosis. It may have been the loss of someone you love. Mine? Mine was May 4th, 2001. That day started out normal, just like any other day, until 7:52 p.m. I'm a cop, I'm a firefighter, I'm an EMT. And at 7:52, the tones dropped. And my world would never be the same. You see? This was a rough one. But that day, my squad mate, my partner, my friend, died in my arms. Jason had been shot in the neck while attempting to arrest somebody that was known and wanted for aggravated assault on a police officer. And I was the first EMT on scene. You can tell by how emotional I am how that day went. My world that night was shaken in a way that I could have never imagined. There was chaos everywhere. The bad guy had fled. He had gone several blocks away, had broken into a house. He had taken an individual hostage, all while I'm working on Jason. But even as shaken as I was, in that moment, God was my refuge, and he still is today. And that brings me to my second point this morning. When everything shakes, God is present. Verse 1 of our passage says something remarkable. He's a very present help, not just a help, not a distant help, not just a God that knows about our trouble, a very present help. It makes me think of a song, and it was referenced in one of our songs today, God on the Mountain. And the words in that chorus are, "For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley." It gives me a sense of God being available, being present, even in our worst times of distress. One of the common questions we get as Southern Baptist Disaster Relief is when we deploy is, where is God? The Bible doesn't pretend that suffering is easy to understand. From personal experiences, I know it's not easy to understand. But we consistently see that God is not absent from those who are suffering. If you notice in verses 4 through 7, it tells us when God is present. There's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. That's God in the mountains. But it continues and says, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. That's God in the valley. He is with us. Verse 7 reminds us, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Rest, or Selah. But did you catch verse 5? God is in the midst of her. In its original context, the psalmist is speaking of the city of God, the God dwelling in the midst of his people. The great truth remains, the God who dwells among his people isn't distant from him. He's with them in their trouble. Keeping that in mind, if you look at 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul reminds the church that God's Spirit dwells with us. Maybe Paul thought about that verse 7 in the Psalm, that declaration that's repeated when the author writes, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See, the author is using the phrase, the psalmist is saying, the Lord of hosts, which presents God as the commander of heaven's armies. The one who possesses all authority, all strength. But the emphasis is not just that God's powerful. No. The emphasis is the all-powerful, almighty creator of the universe is with us. You know, when SBDR deploys after a disaster, we know the survivors are going to have a couple of immediate needs. And we're not referring to food and water. They're going to need help. And they're going to need hope. Sometimes they just need somebody to stand beside them and to let them know you're not alone. It's one of our most powerful aspects of disaster relief. Our presence matters. In Psalm 46, we're told that before SBDR ever arrives, before a volunteer ever knocks on a door to see what help that family, that household may need, before we ever even get to the community, God's already there. I can think back to being on deployment in Fayette County, and we were on about day 8, of the deployment, and I finally had the opportunity, because of busyness on our part and on her part, I had the opportunity finally to meet with the mayor of the city. And as I'm talking to her, she's recounting the day that the flood occurred, and she said, this is later in the evening, and I remember getting to the office early in the morning and everything going on and trying to figure out how we're going to get through all of this, and I got to a point where I just had to get outside. I needed to be outside of my office where I could just catch some fresh air. And as I walked outside and as I stood there, looking up the road, coming out of one of the hollers, I saw two gold shirts walking down the road. And I knew what they represented. And I knew God's with us. It's going to be okay. You see, Southern Baptist Disaster Relief may bring help, hope, and healing to those in crisis. But ultimately, what we're trying to do and what we want to do is we want to point people towards the one who is present in their trouble. Before we ever arrive, we know that God's not absent from that disaster. And our prayer is that through our presence, through the help, hope, and healing that we can bring, we also get to bring the gospel to a people in need. And that people come to know the one true living God who alone can be their refuge. The night Jason was murdered, I needed to be reminded of that. And I was. I was when the sheriff walked up to Jason and knelt beside him and simply bowed his head in prayer. Everything was shaken then and it still is now, because I can still see it just as vividly as I can see you. I needed to be reminded that God was with me, that God was there. And that leads me to my third point. When everything shakes, God is still sovereign. Look at verses 8 through 11 with me. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The psalm moves from creation itself being shaken to nations and kingdoms being in turmoil. Notice verse 6 says exactly that. The nations were raged and kingdoms were moved. That is a relevant statement. Nations rage against each other. Kingdoms rise. Kingdoms fall. Governments change. Wars happen. Terrorism strikes. Our world often seems like it's just spiraling out of control. But pay attention to what he writes in verse 9. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. And in verse 10, what could be the most familiar portion of this entire psalm? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Two little words. Be still. That doesn't simply mean relax. No. The original Hebrew word is rapha, and it carries the idea of letting go, of ceasing, of relaxing one's grip. Essentially, God's telling you, well, you're in the midst of everything that's shaking you, cease striving, let it go. Let go and recognize that I am God. The world may be in chaos all around you, but God's not confused. He's not wondering what's going to happen next. Nations rage against each other. It happens all of the time. The two examples I used are December 7th, 1941, and September 11th, 2001. But even through all that, God still reigned. Earthly kingdoms may totter, but the kingdom of God can never be shaken. We have days that we've set apart. Days to remember those who sacrificed and served. Patriots Day, we just had that on Friday. Patriots Day is one of those. Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day is another one. Memorial Day. We should remember, we need to remember the victims. We should honor the first responders, the members of our military. We should be thankful for those that run towards the danger to protect others. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, our hope doesn't rest in a nation or in a government or a military. Or human strength. We can love our country without confusing our country for the kingdom of God. We can be patriotic without making patriotism a religion. We can honor the sacrifices of brave men and women while recognizing that there is only one that can save our soul, and that is Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, who died for our sins on Calvary's cross, was buried to rise again 3 days later. Psalm 46 tells us that God is our refuge. But how? How can a sinful people get refuge in a holy God? I gave you the answer. It's through Jesus Christ, His Son. Through admitting you're a sinner, believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confessing your sins, repenting. You see, Christ entered our world, born of a virgin, led a sinless life. He experienced temptation. He experienced suffering. He experienced grief. He faced violence. He went to the cross in our place, in my place, and He bore the judgment I deserved for my sins. But through Him, we can come to God. We can find our refuge. Suffering is a terrible reality in this broken world that we live in. But suffering is not the greatest tragedy a person can face. The tragedy I experienced on May 4th, 2001 wasn't just so I could suffer. No. The greatest danger, the greatest tragedy that anyone can face is entering eternity separated from God. Maybe today, your world's shaken, and nobody even knows it. Maybe on the outside, everything appears fine. But on the inside, you're afraid. You're exhausted. You're grieving. Your world is shaking because you realize you can't control everything. You can't control anything. One of the things that I remember after Jason was murdered was some sage advice, and that was, Roy, you got to take the S off your chest. You are not Superman. And it's times like that when I needed to be reminded of the words of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And perhaps today is a day that you need to stop running everywhere else, looking for a refuge. Pouring yourself into work for money, to buy toys and go have fun. Pouring yourself into relationships. Pouring yourself into substances or pouring substances into you. None of these things are going to be a refuge for you. In fact, they can make things even worse. Some people just try to ignore the problem. It'll go away. No. We have to remember there is a refuge that cannot be shaken, and that is the God who created the universe. And the only way through Him is through His Son, Jesus Christ. The dates that I mentioned at the beginning of this message taught us that everything can change in a second. We're not promised our next breath. And the psalmist teaches us that something even more important, and that's when everything changes, when everything is shaken, God does not. When our earth falls out from under us, God is our refuge. When our own strengths fail, God is our strength. When trouble comes, and trust me, it will, God is present. And when nations rage, God is sovereign. When everything shakes, the Lord of hosts is with us. He's right there beside us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So again, maybe today your world is shaken. But you know what? Today can be the day that you find refuge in the Creator of all. If you have questions, while we're singing, you don't even wait. If you have questions, come and talk. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Rich. Talk to somebody. Maybe the psalmist has reminded you that we're not in control, but we have a refuge in our Lord and Savior who you've already accepted. No matter how far you try to run away from Him, the good news is it only takes one step to come back to Him, to be wrapped in His loving arms. Or maybe, as your world shakes today, there's something that you just need to lay at the foot of the cross. The steps to this platform are always available for you to do just exactly that. Simply come. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for being my refuge, Lord. For the simple fact that You are the same whether I'm on a mountain or in a valley. That You are always there with me as my refuge, is my place that I can run in times of trouble. But Father God, I pray that if there be one here today that know not You, that does not have that refuge in You that they need, that they come, Father, that they surrender their life to You, that they admit they need Your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Master. Father, give them the strength to step out and come. As You are our place, Father, of refuge, give us the strength that only You can. In Jesus' holy and heavenly name, amen.
Thank you, Roy. Will you all please stand with us?
I find
without you, I'd fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I know.
Strength of God, you're dismissed.
You're my one.